You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Izzy Barber. Izzy, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks so much for having me.
We're going to talk about your show, of course, Clay Pigeons, which I'm really looking forward to getting into. And let's talk a little bit about how this was built, because this was made during cross-country trips, right, between 2025 and this year? Is that?
Yeah, I went on three separate month-long road trips, starting in June of 2025. And each trip I would, like, fly out west, be alone for, like, 3 weeks painting, and then the last week I would have a friend help drive while I would paint on my way back to New York.
And so what were the locations you went to? You would fly out west, and then how did you drive back? You rented a car to drive back?
Yeah, so it was very, I guess, like, in some ways illogical, but it made sense painting-wise. So I knew I needed to give myself a big, I needed to give myself a lot of room to organically figure out my subjects. So it was, you know, not the most financially sustainable practice, but I would fly out west. The first time I actually flew to Tucson, Arizona, which it was kind of like, I knew I wanted to do this big project and I really didn't know where to start. So a friend of a friend, Brian Weitz, who his solo music is under the name Geologist, he wanted to put out a record and asked me to do the cover, and he was saying it was inspired by the Sonoran Desert and his time living in Tucson. And at first I was thinking, oh, I don't want to work from a photo. Sorry, I can't do this. But then I realized, wait, I needed a place to start. So I started by flying out to Tucson, Arizona, which is a place I had never been, and it was incredibly hot in June, and I freaked out the first week not really knowing what I was doing until I was wandering around and ended up at the border wall, and that was like one of the main subjects that developed. So I did kind of a southwest trip, the first trip, then I did a northwest trip flying out to Northern California and doing like a driving back to New York. And then the third trip, I kind of did a variation on the first trip, driving to Arizona and driving through Texas and like back to New York.
So that's exciting. That sounds like a lot of fun, that kind of traveling and an unusual process too. So walk me through what happens when you get out there. You said you need time to get to know your subject. Can you just walk me through that? You fly out there, you land, you could go through the one in the Sonoma Desert, maybe, if that was the first one?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the most important thing to know about my process, which has been how I worked for a number of years now, is like I exclusively paint from life. And I grew up in Brooklyn, and New York has been my subject for many years, but even in New York, I like kind of wander around drawing and like thinking until I kind of land on a subject organically. And so I needed to do that with this kind of bigger project of like going through the United States. So I needed to give myself room to kind of not know what I was doing until I like happened upon it. I had actually quit a job of 13 years in December 2024 and decided to put my savings into this project. So when I first flew out to Tucson, I kind of freaked out for a week because I was really unprepared for the heat and really didn't like started waking up at like 4 or 5 a.m. to try to get out to the desert to paint in the desert. Before it got so hot, and realized I wasn't like a landscape painter, like a nature painter exclusively. So, you know, I had a moment being like, what am I doing out here? And feeling kind of wanting to connect to something in the country and feeling kind of lost for a moment until I started. Yeah, the first thing that really made sense to me was when I saw the border wall for the first time. And then, I mean, other subjects kind of appeared. I spent some time in Las Vegas. Like, I was driving around a lot the first few weeks, just orienting myself. And I think I need things to appear to me in real time for me to understand that I want to paint it. But then when I do, I like start and finish a painting on site.
And so let's talk about the work in the show. The border wall is that changed things for you, right? Seeing that?
Yeah, I think in a number of ways. I mean, it's both like symbolically important. It connects to a political, crisis right now with the ICE arrests and detentions. And then also, like, formally just seeing this interruption in a landscape and this, like, human mark, separating separating countries, but separating space also and realities. It was a really interesting, very fruitful kind of place to be, and also going to different border crossings and really getting a feel for what that is to be physically near that kind of structure and, border area was really interesting to me to, like, sit with the complexity.
And so let's talk about that a little bit more, because that sounds powerful on a number of levels, on a personal level, of course, and a political level. How did that affect the work in the show?
I went out to start this project knowing that there were going to be a lot of different elements to this. I think I had always wanted to go on cross-country road trips and had been jealous of friends who, like, did that, like, in the early 20s, like, in my early 20s and stuff. But I also did feel, like, an urgency just with the state of politics in our country and just what's been happening in the news, is really hard to orient oneself to and connect to that reality. I feel like things are moving really fast and there's this disconnection. So I think I've always needed to physically be somewhere to process something. So for me, it was that, like, I just being near, I also went to, I visited detention centers along the way, among other things. Like, it wasn't the only subject in my trip, but I think being near something in a physical way just is kind of a way to process at least my experience and orientation towards it, and, like, sit with what can be a difficult reality. I think it's a lot. It's just in my nature to want to get close to something, even if it is upsetting.
And so that sounds like just a kind of transformative experience on its own, almost, right? That's there's a lot going on there in terms of your kind of pull to something like that, as you're saying, right? That's much more than going out and painting something. You're also getting involved in a world that's uncomfortable and alien to you.
Yeah, I mean, right? I think it's uncomfortable and, I don't know, alien. I mean, it was all new, but also it's, like, not necessarily the immigration itself is not new to me. I grew up in Brooklyn in, like, a the block I grew up in was like majority Spanish speaking. And I have a sister who lives in Mexico. She's lived in Mexico for the last 10 years. And I, double majored in undergrad in human rights. And it never kind of got into my paintings in this direct of a way. But it's always been something that I kind of have been like, it's been on my mind throughout my life. I think I've, for 2 summers during college, worked for immigration lawyers. So I had some familiarity with immigration court and have sketched in the New York immigration court, where it's really the only place you can see like ICE standing still, which is intense, I'd say.
Wow, so that's right. That makes more sense with your background there too, and that kind of the kind of experience. Let's talk about some of the specific works in the show. There was one, Ajo, Arizona. This is a nightscape, so to speak. Tell me a little about this one. This is really kind of a mysterious one to me. It has this kind of polar tree in the foreground and what looks like flowers and a fence or something else in the background, right? This is a very desolate area with such unusual and beautiful light, the colors in here. Tell me a little bit
Thanks.
about this one. This is really a
Yeah.
beautiful one.
Well, I mean, there's certain, I feel like with painting, like subjects emerge that, like immigration, like the border wall, that are, I guess you could think of in intellectual ways, but I think a lot of painting is, intuitive and formal and just kind of themes, like visual themes develop. And I think I had seen this utility pole. This is like in basically this, I guess kind of like a parking lot behind where I was staying in this very small town, that was just above Organ Pipe National Monument, that's right above the border where I'd been painting. And it was like I had painted during the day by the border, and I went back and I just saw this utility pole and the light, and the it just felt a certain way. And I think like the vertical of the utility pole, I think, had been on my mind because of vertical, just having these vertical lines with the border. And then also I think I've painted a lot at night in New York, and there's something about painting at night that really I've always been drawn to. And for me, I think I have my own, associations. I think I was thinking a lot about, like, I thought a lot about Crazy Cat comics in, like, when I was traveling in the out west. And there is something to me, I think that like kind of dark in the back of that painting. I think for some reason, I still don't know why, but I was
I
thinking
like that.
about,
I like that. Yeah, you think of Crazy Cat.
I mean, I think I need painting to like have a kind of freedom of association, and it all kind of happens organically. But yeah, so it's like that had, I think I was going, it was intense to be on this trip, and I think some of the paintings of like ordinary things have their own intensity, just as on a painting level, as I was like probably processing experiences.
Yeah, that's so interesting, and I love the Crazy Cat reference. It's funny the things that we think of and get involved with. There's another one of a national park, Coronado National Park. This is quite different, but we're also looking at a border here, right?
Yeah, it's way out in the distance. There's like a line in the that's the kind of more panoramic view painting, during the day, I believe, right?
Right.
Yeah,
Between two
so
mountains, yeah.
yeah. I painted a few paintings in that area. It's near the like San Rafael Valley, where they're actually in the border walls under construction, and they're actually like blowing up some mountains to make the wall. And this was the first painting I made when I just first got to this parking lot in this national park before I like hiked down to the border with my paints. So yeah, it's like, it's my most like landscape painting, I think, but like the difference being that there's this like human man-made line somewhere in it.
Right. Yeah, that isn't apparent immediately. Of course, you have to look closer to see that. But yeah, that's so interesting, and also yeah, telling about your trip and how and what you were looking at. There's another one called Interstate, and of course, this is very different than the last two. Although this is a nighttime one, there's something really haunting about this. This is a painting from this year.
Yeah,
Interstate Mac. Yeah, tell me about this one.
So I was thinking, I mean, growing up in Brooklyn, I didn't really have the car culture that so much of the rest of the United States has. So I was really fascinated early on with just like what it was like to drive so much and like to be out west and driving, and it became like really important for me to have that experience of like driving back to New York. Like I flew out west, but I really needed to make the connection back to New York. And I'd been doing so much driving that the last week each time would have a friend come help drive. And I actually painted that when I was in the passenger seat of the car. And that was definitely when we were getting quote further east. And I feel like it, for me, it's familiar to a lot of interstate driving. But it was, I loved painting in a moving car. I did it for the first time on the night of 4th of July in 2025. And when I was driving through Northern Texas, but I like continued to do it the last week of the trips, and it was, I mean, the amazing thing about painting is it can be many things. Like for me, painting in a moving car is both like fast and slow. Like it's both thrilling and I'm also like seated and like really, I don't know, it's kind of luxurious too to be driven around painting. But yeah, you're also moving fast, and it's, I think sometimes painting for me, especially this like painting from life project, feels like painting is almost like a sport sometimes.
I love that way of looking at it, painting as a sport. So tell me more about that, because you're literally painting while you're moving.
Yeah. I think I work really well with limitations, and with, I think there's a little bit of like painting from life, like maybe a slightly addicted to an adrenaline thing sometimes, especially like in that kind of situation. In New York, I've painted, I did a series like painting at like raves and like painting in like subway cars, and they kind of made sense for different moments in time for me. So I don't always do that. but yeah, painting in a car was so thrilling, and it's kind of like you don't know if you're gonna, like, I really love painting a situation that I have no idea what's going to end up being the final image. I really like that element of painting from life, which is like this time limitation and really being so affected by the experience and situation that it dictates what the painting is. Like you can't make a very delicate, intricate painting while you're in a moving vehicle. You have to find what is essential that you can hold on to in that situation. So it kind of forces something essential or some kind of simplicity, or trying to find, yeah, the element that, the one element you can, you know, hold on to, I think.
It's such a fascinating idea, painting while moving like that, because those are more impressions too. It's a mixture of things, right? You're painting from memory. It's a whole different technique. It's a different way of looking. There seems to be so many things about that that are really unusual and challenging, I would imagine.
Yeah, I definitely like that element of it. I mean, it's kind of like improv, and I feel like I'm friends with a lot of musicians, and it's like I can imagine, like, I guess for me it's like painting. It's kind of like I'm in dialogue with my subject, you know, like I have to respond and react to the world and the situation in a way that I think I would be at a loss if I tried to paint in a studio just from my head. Like, I think that would be too narrow for me, because I think my imagination is more limited than what I can do with responding to the world.
I like that so much. I want to ask you one more question before we go a little off topic. What are you reading at the moment?
I just started this Crumb book by Dan Nadel that came out recently, and I haven't really opened it up too much, but I read a few pages. I'm going to probably read a bit more of Simone Weil, who I was reading back in college.
Well, I want to thank you for talking with me today. And of course, for listeners, you can follow the links. I hope you get to go see the show as well before it closes at the end of July. Izzy, thanks again for talking to me today. I really appreciate your time and this beautiful work.
Thanks so much for having me.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.